wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips.
It's the Gadget Girl on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the inner whipped West. Dad, do you want an orange whip?
I'll have an orange whip, thank you.
Peter, do you want an orange whip? No.
Yeah, Peter wants an orange whip. June, do you want an orange whip?
Orange whip? I don't think they can hear us.
No.
They're just pointing at us and laughing. They're kind of looking at us as if, in the other room.
Okay, we can ask the question now. Peter's turned on the monitors. Do you want an orange whip, Peter? Yes, Peter wants an orange whip, June? Yep. Okay. Five orange whips.
Right. We'll just
four orange whips.
We'll just head to
plus the three.
We'll just head to California so we can get an orange whip for everyone.
And it's appropriate that we head to California because it's the 4th of July, which is American Independence Day.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why you care so much about this. You know, we do live in Australia.
Oh, I think it's important to recognise that some of our listeners will be in the US.
Name one right now. Do it,
Patricia.
Do it. Name it right now,
Patricia.
You can guarantee that this Patricia is listening.
I can guarantee that Patricia will eventually listen to the podcast because I will make her do it.
Right. So at this point in time, the majority of Australians don't really care about 4th of July, right?
Correct.
One of the station people is just smiling and acknowledging that I'm right on this one.
Yeah, but I think it's important to recognise it. Oh, Peter just gave me a wave. Can you use more than one finger next time, Pete?
Welcome to the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the Australian edition of the Gadget Grill on July 4th, which is, as Dad pointed out, the American Independence Day, but no one cares about that because this is a technology show.
That's right. But where does the most of the technology come from?
Japan, actually.
China, actually.
Well, you completely screwed yourself on that one.
It's a lot of...
Where does it come from? Oh, America. It must come from America.
But a lot of it is designed in America.
A lot of it's designed in England as well. A lot of it's designed in Russia. You can't just sit there and go, it must be designed in America. That's the correlation. Why don't you just say it's the Gadget Grill radio show that happens to fall on Independence Day for America, so we've also stuck in a song later on tonight that celebrates that because you wanted that.
Yeah, I wanted it because it's a good song too.
And at that point we say, welcome to the show, like for the third freaking time.
Yeah, my name is Gary Stark.
Duh.
And your name is?
Lee Stark. He's getting more and more annoyed at the fact that, anyway, on tonight's show, what do we have?
Oh, we got a review of a camera. We're talking about internet dating scams.
Internet dating scam. Boy, that has so much to do with America. I'm amazed.
And we've got our usual news. We've got a wonderful useless gadget tonight.
Really?
Oh, yes. This is a useless gadget that will absolutely terrify you.
Oh, God. I'm not really sure if I want to know about it.
I've
had a pretty terrifying week.
You certainly have. You've been...
jet-setted and loved and hugged.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah, something like that. So we've got that. We've got news. We've got a whole bunch of stuff like that. We may as well get into it because I'm sure with the interview in line, we've probably got a lot of stuff to get through.
We certainly do. Have you seen any monkeys lately?
I haven't. But you know what? The next time I do, I'm going to shake me like a monkey. That doesn't even make any sense.
No.
You just start this up because there's a little tiny bit of... There we go. This is Dave Matthews Band with Shake Me Like a Monkey. It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. If you're listening to us through an orange whip, give it. Give it here. We don't want to fly to America just to get an orange whip. And we need five, not just for an orange whip. You know what? We need five right here, now for this stuff.
Four?
Four. You just had five originally.
I know.
You want an extra one.
I want an extra one, yeah.
Right. Outside of the orange whip, you can head to www.radio2rdj.com where you can listen to us without frothing your ears up with orange sugar and milk.
And you can listen to us talk about the news in technology this week.
You can.
And the first one up is something that I know you're going to rush out and buy, Lee.
Absolutely. I like rushing out and buying. What money do I have, seriously?
You're going to need a lot of money that you don't have for this one. $35,000 US is where it starts at.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
Can I borrow like $35,000?
Sure.
Okay.
Peter, Lee wants $35,000 from you. Okay. But this is a Tron light cycle.
Oh, yes, I saw this. There's only five being five made in honor of the new
movie.
Tron Legacy movie.
Yeah.
They're actually making... I'm going to interrupt you with this because I bet you I have this one memorized. They have made five actual working proper light cycles that they're going to...
They haven't yet.
They're going to, but they're only making five, and
correct.
They're going to put them on eBay or what.
They're already on eBay.
Yeah.
The link is on the website.
The starting at price of $35,000, there is no way they're going to sell for that much.
They're going to sell.
They're going to sell so expensively.
Yeah.
I would so... you're absolutely right. Dad, can I borrow like $5 million?
Okay.
That's what they're going to go for, seriously.
Yeah. So I thought, as I said, you'd certainly want one of those.
Absolutely. HP this week launched some interesting printers. It's a new technology.
Printing
called,
and technology, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, they actually got this campaign called Hit Print. See, HP Hit Print. You see where they're going there?
What
they're doing there?
Okay.
And the new printers there, this new line of printers they're launching, actually include the ability to, you connect them to your network, you connect them to the web, and an email address is assigned to them. It allows you to print from wherever you are.
That's cool.
So if you get your boarding pass, if you're traveling home, which actually you'd probably want your printer with you at the time.
Yes, you don't really. But the interesting thing is that are any of these small printers that you could actually take with you?
You know, that's a sad thing. None of them are actually that small. They're all desktop-style printers.
Okay.
But
you can print documents while you're on the road, and then they can be waiting for you in a nice pile on the floor when you get home.
Yeah, for your dog to chew through, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Touchscreen anywhere. How'd you like to have the kitchen bench in your house as a touchscreen?
I'd like to be able to see my kitchen bench, to be honest. There's too much electronics and paper sitting on top of it.
Okay. But,
let me get through that first.
Okay. But Intel this week demonstrated some new technology using a Pico projector and a couple of cameras that turns any surface into a touchscreen.
Just mention everybody, a Pico projector is a tiny projector, like a regular projector, except tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What they're doing is they're using two cameras to pick up a 3D image of what the projector is projecting, and if you put your hand down there, it can tell, because it's 3D, it can tell when your hand actually touches the image and so on.
I know this sounds a bit freaky, but I want one embedded in my skin so I can touch my hands and have that sort of do the same sort of thing.
Well, that could work. You could actually project onto your hand and so on and do that. So this is still in the experimental stages, but some of the other stuff it does is, for instance, you can put down foodstuffs down there. Because it's 3D, it can actually try and recognize the food that you're putting down there, and it'll project recipes on the screen for you, so you can then cook.
Interesting. Dad, you ever played with slot cars, slot racing machines?
Oh, years ago,
the cars on the tiny track and they spin around?
Yes.
Well, Mazda
and
have
they fall
this...
off.
Yeah, they fall off. They usually... And especially if you run them at the same rate against each other, they smash. Anyway,
yep.
Mazda has this really interesting idea of creating a full-sized, proper-scale race track where it's controlled like that of real cars. And they want to put on it several Miatas, the MX-5s, but no one actually knows how it's going to work, because if anyone actually knows how slot car machines work, if you run them too fast, they fly off.
Yes.
If you run them at each other, they crash.
Yes.
And Mazda wants to make a real one.
Oh, dear. On the subject of cars and transportation, we seem to have a few transportation stories.
Mm.
The FAA in the US has approved for flight the Terrafugia Transition, which is a flying car.
Interesting. Do you think anyone will actually be game enough to fly it?
You can take orders now. $200,000. US.
Dad, can I borrow $5 million for a light cycle and $200,000 for a flying car?
Well, you can have a flying
flying light cycle.
Yeah, you have both. What's your last news story tonight?
You're right about the amount of transport stories in the news this week. There's another one about how, as a possible replacement for cargo jets, blimps might be on the agenda.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. They're looking at the concept of a blimp carries twice the cargo capacity of jets, including a 747.
Yep.
And it produces 90% less greenhouse gas than the same
travels
actual...
At, what was it, 94 miles an hour, was it?
Yeah, it's not as fast. And
it's a lot slower.
It's a lot slower, but it looks great in the sky.
It'll take five times as long to get as a 747.
You know, for some products, that doesn't make that big of a difference.
No, but think about... For some products, it certainly doesn't, I agree. But
I'm just waiting for them to put as many cars, Lamborghinis, in them as possible and waiting for pirates to shoot the bloody thing down.
Oh, there you go.
What's your last story?
My last story is... Remember the Microsoft Kin?
I do remember. This was the small, almost BlackBerry sort of styled social media device that they came up with. It looked a little bit like a teardrop.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's dead.
Really?
Yes.
Can we revive it?
No.
What, can we get George Clooney in here to do the heart paddle thing?
It was a resounding failure. They've removed it from the market. They're not going to release it in Europe.
Wasn't it just 6 weeks old?
6 weeks is correct.
6 weeks and it's dead.
Yeah, that's how unsuccessful it was.
Dear God.
Yeah.
That's just disastrous. That's actually worse than Microsoft Bob.
I know.
That's just awful.
Yeah.
They should just bury this thing and send it to the stars.
Lots of other news stories will be coming up on the website, so be sure to check out www.gadgetgrill.com.au for the information about these stories and a whole lot more.
For now, we're looking to the stars with the Australian Gerard Masters and...
Oh, good mate of mine, Gerard.
Is he actually a good mate?
He's a friend of mine, yeah.
Okay. We're looking to the stars. Gerard Masters from his new EP, this is Stargazer.
So you've heard all the endless repeats on commercial radio with non-stop three-day music marathons, and along the way have possibly paid out a rather large sum to get your 30 seconds of fame for very little return. Now, compare this to the all-new 2RDJ sponsorship deals. Want to know more? Give us a call during business hours on 9744 3284 or fax us on 9744 1088.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. We're going to get stuck into our feature because I'm told it's pretty interesting. It's one of those things that if you read a book, this would still be 10 times more interesting.
Absolutely.
Depends on the book, though, of course.
Depends
you know,
on
if,
the
if
book,
if
yeah.
It's like Stephanie Meyer book, this is way more interesting. Or it's my opinion, anyway.
Yeah. Certainly more interesting than Noddy.
Who's Noddy?
You don't know. That's right. It's before your time, isn't it?
Doesn't help me.
No, I'll tell you about it later.
The Noddy Grill?
No. Yeah, there you go. The Noddy Grill.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. We've got an interview coming up now with Melanie Cole from McAfee Software.
They make antivirus stuff.
They do indeed. Now, what happened here is that McAfee Software, in conjunction with the Queensland Police Department, recently conducted a survey related to internet dating sites and scams that occur through internet dating sites. And I was speaking to Melanie a couple of weeks ago about this, and we talk about how people can get scammed through these sort of things if you're not careful, and she offers some a case history on what happened to one poor lady and some suggestions as to how hopefully you won't get caught. Of course, if you don't go to internet dating sites, then you won't get caught. But
stop looking at me, damn it! Stop looking at me.
Yeah, but in all reality, this is quite serious stuff, as you will hear. So let's have a listen to Melanie Cole from McAfee Software. I'm talking with Melanie Cole from McAfee Software, and Melanie and McAfee have recently been working with the Queensland Police Department on some very interesting projects. Melanie, would you care to say hello, Melanie, to the Gadget Grill listeners? Welcome first, and tell us a little bit about what you've been doing there.
Oh, thanks, Gary. Hi, and welcome to all the listeners. Let me start off by giving you a bit of a general rundown about what the scam is. So we've named it the dating scam. Now, the dating scam is essentially a deceitful romantic intention towards a victim, and it involves gaining their trust and using their goodwill to basically commit a fraud, either via a dating site or even via a social networking site. And what they're doing is they're targeting the lonely hearts of the world to get some kind of financial gain. Now, the fraudulent acts, they can range from many different things, including, stealing the victim's money, getting their credit card details, or even what we're seeing is getting the victim to create the financial fraud on the behalf of the scammer.
Okay, and what did you find out? What were some of the interesting things that came out of what you did?
Look, do you want me to touch on one of the case studies that we saw?
I think that would be wonderful. Yes, please.
Yeah, so one of the very recent case studies we saw was a lady in Queensland. She was scammed out of a total of around $37,000 in payments over just a few weeks.
Ooh.
And it's quite a hefty amount, and there was a lot of payments done to the scammer. The lady had basically met this scammer on an international dating service, an online dating service.
Right.
And really what the scammer's technique was in this case was to rapidly build a relationship with the lady. So he was reaching out to the lady, contacting her several times a day over the telephone, having telephone calls, via email, via chat, and really built up the relationship very quickly with this lady and started using, you know, I love you, I really want to come and visit you.
And they'd never met.
Yeah, they've never met. And this happened in a time period of about 3 weeks. And, of course, the day came when he said, I want to come and visit you, baby. I love you. I need some money to get there. Can you please help me out? And it started off like that. And eventually it just became more and more. There was the cost of living is very high. I need some more money. I've become sick. I need more money after that.
And so it's a variation on the Nigerian scam, just a different means and methodology, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a slightly different tactic in that they're trying to build up the relationship over a period of time. I think people have become switched on to some of the Nigerian scams, you know, one-off emails. But this guy was making personal interactions with the lady over the telephone to build that confidence and that relationship and trust.
The other thing, of course, with the Nigerian scams, they're playing, of course, on the victim's greed. And in a lot of cases, I don't have a lot of sympathy for the people who are the victims there because it's their own fault, you know, sort of they're that greedy and they're sort of, you know, sort of willing to fall for that. Here, they're playing on the person's loneliness and as well as their gullibility. And it's a slightly different situation, I think. You know, sort of you have to feel for these people who are the victims that are obviously quite lonely.
Yeah, and look, people are putting themselves out there on dating websites because they legitimately want to meet a partner. And there are a lot of legitimate people on these dating sites and many people have met and happily married from these sites. So
happily divorced as well?
Definitely happily divorced as well. But in this case, you do feel very sorry for the victims because there is that element that they've gotten involved from a personal perspective.
Okay. Now, in terms of somebody wanting to protect themselves from this sort of thing, Melanie, what sort of recommendations came out from what they found out?
Look, there's about five tips, but let me keep it to the top three. And
okay.
I think a lot of them are very common sense. Both for dating websites and I think as well for social networking sites because that is another area which you meet people on. The first one I'd say is just be careful about the amount of information that you're posting on your profile.
Always, yep.
Yeah, the more information you put up there, the easier it is for the scammer to put a story together around your personal preferences and appeal to what you like. So really be careful about the amount of information you post on the net. It's available, it's public, it's very, very public information. So that's my number one tip. The second one is you have to be very suspicious about someone reaching out and getting that high level of contact on a daily basis. If someone's reaching out to you 3 hours a day, really trying to get a hold of you, and spend that much time, you'd have to start to become a little bit suspicious. And if someone's telling you that they love you within 2 or 3 days of you meeting them on the net, I think you can send that warning call.
and not having actually physically met that person as well. I think that, you know, sort of, you know, it comes back to that old adage that you've got to really not necessarily believe everything that you read just because it's on the internet. It's not necessarily true, and this falls well within that category, I think.
Yeah, absolutely correct, Gary.
Okay, and the third one?
And the third one, which to me seems like a little bit of an obvious one, but never send cash overseas. It is very difficult to track down the person committing the fraud, and sometimes they're never caught. So no matter how legitimate the request seems, if someone's asking you for money, just don't send it overseas.
Absolutely. Just say no.
Yeah, just say no. Very common sense tip.
Just say no, yeah. Okay, Melanie, thank you very much. Melanie Cole from McAfee Software. I appreciate the time that you spent here on the Gadget Grill with us.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
No.
30?
No.
Okay.
No.
37.
You just have to just say no.
Yeah, okay, say no. Yeah, yeah. That's true. $37,000. $37,000.
And just imagine if $2,000 had been saved, she might be able to afford a Tron life cycle.
Well, that's right. Well, that's why the person probably scammed her.
Probably.
In all seriousness, we shouldn't make fun of that because this is much, to me, this is much more serious than, say, being scammed by the Nigerian scammers, because the people who get scammed by the Nigerian scammers, they're getting caught by their own greed.
Exactly. In this case, you're being caught because you want to try and make a connection with someone for a relationship, and that's a lot more painful to deal with.
Exactly. Exactly. They're dealing with people who are lonely, who are perhaps troubled or whatever. And this is, you know...
Disgusting.
It is. What a low life. What an absolute rat.
Hopefully some tips there to help people not feel like...
Not get scammed, basically.
Not get scammed and lose...
Are we on the air?
Dad, I ask that every time we go... Jen, are we on the air still?
Are we on the air?
I think we're still on the air. We haven't had a transmitter failure.
I don't think we have.
This is Jenny Owen Youngs with transmitter failure. Radio 2RDJ, this is the Gadget Grill, and I'm just looking at our website, Dad, and an article went up saying the kin is dead. I do believe we talked about that just a few minutes ago.
That's correct, and that's exactly how it's all supposed to work. Let me stop that for a second.
You might want to stop that, because I don't want music to appear underneath us.
No.
We're going to talk about a gadget.
We're going to talk
about... it's the Gadget Grill.
It's the Gadget Grill, and that's what we do here, and...
We also cook mighty fine steaks.
We certainly do. And because you did this the other day,
week... Oh, you're going to... Is this a camera off? Is that what this is?
That's
I have to
is.
Get David Bowie in here? I think I just had my ears blown apart. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Dad, can I borrow another 500 grand to repair my ears?
Okay.
Okay. Just because you love me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was the Nikon D3S.
A camera that no one can afford.
A camera
that's like my one.
Well, it's not aimed at everybody. This is aimed at the very fairly...
At the moment, it's aimed at the mini disc deck.
It is too.
Fair point.
But it's a camera that, in marketing terms, is targeted at professional photographers, and it suits the professional photographer's needs very much. It is a very, very high-end camera.
We'll give you an idea. It's worth roughly $7,000 or $8,000.
Yeah.
It's expensive. But what's been good about it?
Has anything
been bad about it?
Yes, there's a couple of things that I don't like about it.
The fact that you don't own it.
Well, the fact that I don't own it. Thank you, Nikon. We appreciate the loan of it to be able to review it. I don't like the way that it does the viewing of images to zoom in when you're chimping. It's different from the D300 and different from the D200 and different from
most cameras, basically.
Yeah, they keep changing that, and Nikon, no, that's wrong.
That's what Canon do with... that's what Sony do with some of their cameras. They change it every time until they find the perfect answer.
Yeah, well, they don't find the perfect answer, but what's on the D300 and D700 bodies is pretty bloody good, and they should keep it that way rather than what they've done here. I don't like it how it's done here. The on-off switch is exactly where you expect it, of course. So when you pick up the camera, it feels... If you're used to Nikon bodies, it feels exactly like any other Nikon body, except this is a tank. And that's a good thing. This is built like the old Nikons, the Nikons from the 70s and 80s. It really feels solid. It is a beautiful camera, takes beautiful images, nice fat photo sites, which means that you can get very high quality images even in very low light. This thing works.
Of course, as fast as what you said before. Does it, you think this technology, much like the Canon's one, do you see it trickling down into lower point shoots and lower SLRs soon?
Absolutely. I'm expecting, and I may well be wrong on this, but I'm expecting to see some sort of replacement for the D90 in the not-too-distant future.
I say nothing at all.
Because
I know what that something's about to happen.
Okay, because that's a couple of years old now, so it's due for replacement. And likewise, the D700 is due for an upgrade soon as well. So,
I'm expecting something in both of those realms
in the not-too-distant future, and that's going to come from here.
You've experienced both the Canon version of that and a Nikon version of that.
Yeah.
Which did you like more?
That's a difficult question.
They're different cameras. They're very different cameras.
And because I'm so used to using Nikon, the Nikons feel more at home to me. The Canon, it's not lighter, but it feels lighter in the hand. It doesn't feel as heavy as this one does. And I think the Canon with the 70-200 lens focuses. I think it acquires focus a little bit faster than the Nikon.
Impressive.
But the Nikon, absolutely beautiful. You know, glorious images. When you see the story come up on the website, I've got a full crop, a full-size crop of an image that we shot in our test lab. And it is at 102,400.
That's the kitchen, right?
No.
I thought it was a kitchen.
No, that's in your old room.
Oh. You know, that makes me feel. I was going to say the kitchen of the gadget grill. Boom.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Jeez.
Yes. If you're looking for a good high-end camera,
and you have $8,000 to spare,
especially if you're in the Nikon system, D3S is absolutely absolutely the way to go.
Now we mentioned earlier on that it was Independence Day, which Dad seems so really into knowing. So we've knocked off our original song that we're going to put tonight. We'll put that in for next week. I'll actually change it with something different.
Yep.
And we're putting this on instead.
This is Ray Charles, America. The beautiful. It is. Oops. Oh, that was not the right thing to do.
This is Dad screwing up. Yeah. America the beautiful.
Here we go. This is beautiful. This is how a song should be sung.
What? Radio 2IDJ, this is the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio. I did it again. And I said I wouldn't do it. Did you know that from yesterday, 25 years ago, Back to the Future was released?
Okay.
And apparently in the movie, when Christopher Lloyd's character set the time machine to go 25 years in the future...
It was yesterday,
yeah.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool.
That is cool, isn't it?
Except for that we have no screens that act as windows and no flying hoverboards and...
No, there is a flying hoverboard.
No mass available flying hoverboards. It's a piece of art, actually. I've seen it.
Yes.
And it's modeled off the one from Back to the Future. Yeah, but we have no publicly available ones.
No.
But, we have a useless gadget.
We do have a useless gadget.
And I'm sure they had loads of useless gadgets in the movie. But, Dad, none of the useless gadgets we have could ever be as good as the ones you come up with.
Well, you come up with most of them, but I found one today this week, that is an absolute doozy.
What's a doozy?
This is...
What does doozy actually mean? Is that one of those words from 25 years ago?
Yeah, it is.
All right.
It is. But this one is a menstruation machine.
I'm sorry. You want to get us thrown off the air? What?
A menstruation machine.
What? You would have had more luck calling it a masturbation machine without getting us thrown off the air. What? I'm not even sure if I want this on the website right now. Please tell me you didn't write this up as a story for the website.
Yes, I did.
Oh, for crying out loud.
But it's under useless gadgets.
Bloody hell. Literally.
Yes, exactly.
What the hell? Okay, all right, fine.
Yeah. A designer in Japan.
Yeah, that's...
Hiromi Ozaki, yeah.
Doesn't surprise me.
Has put together a device that apparently dispenses blood and simulates abdominal cramping so that men can feel what...
It dispenses... So it's a machine for vampires, is it?
Yeah. Well, what menstruation feels like in theory.
Right. So it's a menstruation simulator for men.
Yes.
Oh, crying out loud.
Exactly. We've got a link back to.
I'm almost ashamed of that.
I am so ashamed of that right now. Yeah. It is. You know, I can't think of a device that could be more useless. It's pretty hard to come up with something more useless than that, isn't it?
I don't think it's useless. It's just definitely...
Well, give me a good use for it.
Vampires. Vampires get to regulate their blood usage.
Well,
their blood,
a couple of questions I have about it is, first of all, how accurate is it? Has anybody actually who's suffered from menstruation... suffered is probably
really
the wrong word. Experienced menstruation.
Suffered's a bad word, Dad.
Yeah. Has anybody who's experienced menstruation actually compared it to what the real thing is like?
Oh, geez.
Where do they get the blood from?
Oh.
How do they simulate the cramping? How do they simulate the heaviness? I don't know.
Dad?
Yes.
End the damn show.
You have been listening to The Gadget Grill here on 2RDJFM 88.1.
Right now I wish I wasn't. Jeez.
I told you it was a bad.
It's pretty bad. Jeez, you just freaking... Did you know what you did on air?
Yes.
You've just... If you get us kicked off the air, I will never forgive you. Or at least until the next week we come back on.
Okay. Yeah, you have been listening to The Gadget Grill on 2RDJFM 88.1. The Gadget Grill is also broadcast, is streamed on the internet. From www.radio2rdj.com.
And if for some reason you want to listen to the story about menstruation machines, or hear about McAfee's anti-security sort of stuff, or hear about the kin dying, you can head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au, where you can hear it again and again.
And you can read about it.
And again, yeah. And again.
Ad nauseam, so to speak.
Literally. Nauseam,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. We'll be back next Sunday night at 9 o'clock with another...
Will we?
We'll be back next Sunday night with another Gadget Grill. We've got some interesting stuff already lined up for you.
We do. We hope you like toys.
We do.
That's what we're going to say.
Should we dedicate the whole show to toys?
Oh, we completely should.
I think we should.
You're going to have to dig up a quote for here or there from the beginning of the show.
I think I can
give you one from several DVDs I've got.
Yes, I think we can figure out something there. We'll be back next Sunday night, 9 o'clock, here on 2RDJFM 88.1. My name is Gary Stark.
My name is Lee Stark, and I have an ASIC bag in front of me right now.
We shall see you next Sunday night.
Have a good week, Australia. Oh, by the way, this is Irvin Mayfield with the Midnight Theme. Have a good week.